This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and two very special guests, Penny Kershaw and Terry Ecott. And this evening we're going to be talking all things dementia and Alzheimer's, subjects very close to my heart. So welcome both.
Hello.
It's lovely
Hello,
to have
Joan.
You. Hello. Terry, if I can come to you first, you were diagnosed with vascular dementia 4 years ago. And you now work very hard campaigning. You're an ambassador for the Alzheimer's Society. You fundraise. You do talks. How does it feel to be in that position? I can't imagine.
Well, in some ways, blessed, really, because it's not nice having the disease, but at least I can do something about it and go out and make as much awareness and education for people, really.
Okay, so you've also got a family, haven't you? You've been married to Alison, you've got a daughter, Sarah, 15, a son, Jake, 18. How has it affected the family unit?
Well, to start with, it devastated them because I was only 54 when I was diagnosed.
But that's very young, isn't it?
Yes, but there has been people a lot younger than me. Mm. People are now getting diagnosed in their mid to late 30s or early 40s. So basically, my children were took back, but now they come along with me to a lot of the talks I do around the country and things like that. So they're a part of the journey as well that I do for dementia awareness.
And you're filming on and off. You're filming a documentary, aren't you? Eclipse of the Mind.
Yes, Eclipse of the Mind, named so because basically dementia is in an eclipse. It's just you don't come out the other side. But Eclipse of the Mind is basically filming me from not long after I was diagnosed until basically the end, when I'm sitting in a room somewhere and don't know anyone anymore. It's never been done in the world before. It's been done with motor neuron disease, but never dementia. If there is another one somewhere in the world, then that we don't know about it. But it's hard work, but it's good stuff at the moment. Part one is definitely done.
And you happy with that?
Well, most people have seen it. It's not available online or anything, but we have shown it to a few people and professional people, and they've all come back and said it was really good. And we did do a one-off show about 2 years ago in front of an audience of 200 people, and we got a four-minute standing ovation.
That's fantastic. So I would imagine in part it's a legacy for your family and also an educational tool to help people understand the illness.
Yeah, because when it's finished, basically I wanted to go out there to hospitals for training and the Alzheimer's Society, obviously. But yeah, it's a tool there for education and training.
Yeah, and am I correct in thinking that everyone's journey in dementia or Alzheimer's is very different, isn't it?
There are
obviously similarities along the way.
There is similarities, but if you met one person with dementia, you met one person with dementia. Mm. Everyone's different.
Yes.
You could have 50 people lined up that have got vascular dementia like myself, but we wouldn't all necessarily have the same side effects because it affects everyone slightly differently.
So could you just explain for listeners who, like me, perhaps don't understand those definitions, so like vascular dementia, what does that actually mean, Terry?
Well, vascular dementia is basically the blood flow to the brain. So the brain is not getting the blood flow and the oxygen, so it's slowly deteriorating over time. And basically, because of the veins closing up, you get TIAs, trans ischemic attacks.
Which are mini strokes.
Mini strokes, yeah. Which I had one on Tuesday afternoon.
I just admire you and thank you so much for being here, because you've travelled all the way from the mainland. You come from Alton, don't you?
Yeah.
And got here. So thank you so much.
Appreciate
it. And how are you feeling now? Are you?
I'm fine. I'm still getting headaches, which will go. It's like even a mini, very mini, minute stroke. With TIAs, you can actually have one and not know it. But if you have a fairly strong one, you get sort of like aftershocks, like an earthquake. So, you just get headaches and visual problems for a while, but that subsides after a while. But each time you have a TIA, it affects the brain and takes away some of its function. And with Alzheimer's, you go slowly downhill, but with vascular dementia, you go in steps.
I see. Yeah.
So each time you have a TIA, you go down another step.
So that's inevitable. That's part of it, these TIAs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, with most people, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it all started with me after I had a stroke. That doesn't mean for people listening to get worried if you've had a minor stroke or whatever, because only 7 or 8% of people that have a stroke will go on to develop vascular dementia. Just in case anyone out there gets worried,
yeah.
Don't.
But I think it seems to be a bit of a mystery as to what causes dementia and Alzheimer's, doesn't it? I mean, we're all,
yeah.
I think we're all living in, because we're all living longer, I think we're all living in fear, and the regulars of my shows know that my mother has it, and, well, she has Alzheimer's, as I was rather airily told by the doctor, you know, like it was inevitable that everybody over a certain age got it, which isn't true at all. But it's, I don't know. We don't know really so much about it, do we?
No. This is still early days in the fight against dementia and learning to find out, as you said, about what causes it, things like that. I mean, there's lots of theories. There's lots of things that people said, you know, like diet and things like that. Of course, that might come into it. But there's lots of other things that can be taken on board, like what we eat, the chemicals in it, what we breathe. There's a lot of lead in the air. If you look at, well, lead, even when I was young, people would say, you know, older people would say lead damages the brain. Well, we're breathing in a lot of it now.
Mm.
And even doctors' drugs have been looked at that were used a lot back in the 60s and 70s and still around, like Valium. It was only supposed to be for short-term use. But now, I'm only saying from my point of view, it's not been proved, but I just, what I'm trying to say is there's lots of different factors that could be in, from tablets you've had to take and took long term, to the climate of breathing in, the pollution, to what we eat, stress levels. I mean, we're living life now at 180 mile an hour compared to what it was like in the 70s.
Mm.
And in the 70s, as a DJ, I thought we were living at 180 mile an hour.
Well, you probably were, Terry.
Well, we did party a bit, yeah.
Well, it's good. It's a shame we don't have music on this show. Otherwise, I'd have to just hand over to you, because obviously you'd be far more competent at it than I would be. But no, it's lovely. But it is I think there's a lot of ignorance that surrounds the illness,
yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier before we came on air about some really atrocious situations that you'd heard of and you'd witnessed.
Well, on my travels, yeah, I've met a gentleman that basically had an appointment at the job centre, and he was late because he'd forgotten about it.
Because
he had dementia, yeah. And then he arrived, but late, and he still got sanctioned for 6 weeks.
That's disgusting.
Well, it's not. That's not the only story. You hear about it even in the main media papers now about things like that. And even myself, when I was first diagnosed, I went into the local job centre to see about benefits that I could claim for. And the person behind the counter just said, "Well, you look all right to me," and gave me a telephone number.
There's all heart then.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Really things shocking. Are changing, but
thanks
it's still
to
there.
Thanks to people like you, presumably.
Well,
raising awareness.
Well, I wouldn't like to take all the credit for it, but...
But you do a phenomenal amount of work, don't you? So much so that... Now, I think you're a finalist for one of the big competitions, aren't you?
Yes, I can't say which one until a couple of weeks' time, but yeah. Yeah, I'm in the final five of a certain competition.
Well, that's fantastic.
Not that I entered it. It sounds like a competition. I entered it. Somebody nominated me, so... But I've got... I think it's just because I've done it for 4 years now, you know, just over 4 years.
No, I think it's because you do an awful lot of good and you're really on working for the cause, which is fantastic. So well done you. Penny, if I can just come to you now. How did your friendship, your sort of partnership with Terry... come about? I'm actually working for a company called Caring Communities. They're actually based in Yeovil in Somerset, and I've been going down there for the last 5 weeks to of an induction process, really. And because Terry was actually part of the team, I was introduced to him, and we've struck up a professional relationship. And he's actually come down to the island to support Caring Communities to get our name known to everybody on the island, because obviously we are going to be domiciliary care. And obviously one of the homes we do have on the mainland is a dementia home, and Terry has been supporting that as well with obviously furnishings, etc., and information that is obviously helpful to furnish a home with that need.
As you were telling me earlier again, before we came on air, about the colour of plates for people with dementia.
Yes, for people with dementia that are further down the road than, say, myself, it does come in handy to have a red plate, a blue plate, something like that. Not a plastic thing, not what you'd give children or anything, but just a coloured plate, because as time goes on, if you, say, put mash onto a white plate, they might not actually see that. And if they don't see it, then they won't eat it.
No, that's
right. And then that causes other health problems.
So it's all these things that might not occur to, you know, kind of someone like me straight away, but once you explain it, you think, oh, yes, that makes perfect sense. And to have your insight into that must be really valuable, Penny.
Very valuable. And of course, as many people might know, with dementia as well, it's a recognition of colours. And you do find in dementia homes that they will actually introduce something like colour coding for rooms, that like the toilet, I might have a red seat, or might have a yellow sign on the door to say they recognise it as a toilet. Or even they are processing things like getting people to choose what their front door was like, so they'll have the colour of their bedroom door the colour of their old front door, so that's like a recognition to them as well.
It's lovely. Yeah.
So it's just things like this to sort of prompt people to think, well, actually, okay, that is my room. Oh, yes, and that is the bathroom. So little things like Terry's just mentioned about colour of plates is very important, especially for people with dementia, to actually recognise the food is actually on the plate.
Mm. So what is it you're hoping to bring to our island in terms of domiciliary care? What are you going to be doing that's different to what we can already offer?
Okay, well, Caring Communities have purchased two hotels on the island. One is in Shanklin and one is in Sandown. The larger one in Sandown is going to be converted into independent living units, or the other option we're looking at is probably splitting it into two and offering a like a holiday package. So with the domiciliary care being put in place in Sandown, it's going to be supporting people who want to come away on holiday, if they have any needs, like they need assistance with equipment or personal care or companionship, the domiciliary care will support that. So basically, when you book holiday like we would do, like a package holiday, I want to do XYZ excursion, that obviously offer would be there for people having a need. So they would say what that need is, and then the domiciliary would then support that need while they're on holiday.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. So in terms of your background, what qualifies you to kind of do this now? What makes you passionate about this role?
Well, domiciliary care, as far as a management role, is quite new to me, because I've always worked in residential, or I was caring in a nursing home. I've done various things over the years. I've been in care for about 15, 16 years now, and I just wanted to do something a little bit different. And this is hence why I've been going up to Yeovil in Somerset, because obviously my induction is very crucial to my new position, and to come down to the island with that information and put everything into place. It's only early days for Caring Communities on the island at the moment, because we've just managed to find ourselves a base, because they want to do it so we're actually visual to everybody, not hidden away like some companies are. We're promoting ourselves at the moment. We've got Isle of Wight Day coming up, and we're going to be doing a little bit of sort of fundraising for the Hampshire Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, and just getting some recognition out there. The girls will be going around with t-shirts and just, hey, this is us and this is what we're about, and some
information flyers as well, giving out to the public.
So the Isle of Wight Day is next Saturday, isn't
it? It is, the 23rd.
A week tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
So where will you be based for that, Penny?
Well, we're going to be in Ryde, because I believe most of the activity is going to be around the Ryde area. So we're going to be there for the carnival, and basically just get ourselves out there and get people to know who we are. So, I mean, we know there's a lot of competition on the island in domiciliary care, but we're hoping we're going to offer something a little bit different. The hotel in Shanklin is going to be a respite facility. So basically, the Dom Care will support that for people as well.
Brilliant. So in terms of, I would imagine these are people in the early-ish stages of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because presumably domiciliary can't replace the end-of-life care that is vital to be residential, isn't it?
No. Yeah. That would be something that that will be needed later. What the moment we're doing is supporting people in their home. I know that the government are looking for people, keeping people in their homes as long as they possibly can, and I think most people would like to do that if they can, if they're able to. So the domiciliary care is going to support that, so it's also going to be supporting in the community as well. So we're not only focusing on the two facilities I've just mentioned, we're actually going to be working in the community as well to support people in the community. We're going to be looking like sitting services and things, so there's a variation of things we're going to be offering. It's just really getting the name out there and get people to recognize us, and hopefully the base that we've got in mind will get people to see who we are and hopefully inquire about care in the future.
Brilliant. So it's all going to be very transparent, like you say. You're going to be out there saying, here we are, this
yes.
is where we are at, this is what we're about.
Very much so.
Yeah,
yes,
it's good. And I think from personal experience, that's all I can talk from, is people, well, I certainly know my mother wanted to remain as independent as possible for as long as possible. And it was a very, in the end, you know, there wasn't an option but for mum to go into residential care, but it was still very, very difficult. And it wasn't a decision. The decision was taken out of my hands because it was made by a psychiatrist. But it was obvious that, sadly, that's the point we were at.
Mm.
But he told us we kept her independent and in her own home for 5 years longer than she would have been had she just been on her own and had no support at all. So although they were very, very difficult times, I don't know, I think I was in complete denial looking back, because you were talking earlier, Terry, about the signs and everything. It's very hard to pick up, isn't it, when you don't want to see these things and you don't know necessarily what you're even looking for with dementia.
No, that's right. I mean, some people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and...
Can I just stop you there and ask you again? Sorry. What's the difference for some... And listeners, again, like me, slightly don't know the difference. We talk about dementia and Alzheimer's in one breath. Is there a difference or are they one and the same thing?
Well, they have the same outcome.
Right.
But Alzheimer's disease is basically plaques on the brain, which is basically destroying the functions of the brain, where, as I said earlier, vascular dementia is the blood flow to the brain through the actual
that's
veins.
That's right, yeah.
That's the difference.
Okay, thank you.
But as I say, sadly, the same outcome.
Yes, but you wouldn't necessarily know, you know, just from someone's behaviour what type it would take a psychiatrist or doctor to diagnose the difference.
No, you wouldn't. And I was just like to say as well, some people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and then all of a sudden people say, oh, they went down very quickly. Well, maybe they haven't gone down quickly. Mm. It's just that they've not been diagnosed. I mean, say you're visiting a grandmother or a granddad and you only see them once a week because you're busy, you can't see them all the time, or you see them once a fortnight, and you're there for a couple of hours and they're saying the same stories and things like that. But, you know, I was brought up with, oh, well, the older people always say the same stories. But they can put up a good front. They can mask the dementia.
Yes.
But then one day you go and see them and they've really gone downhill and you know something's wrong, because things are put in the wrong places in their house or flat. And that's because they've managed to hide it for so many years.
Yes, and you are clearly very well aware of what's happening to you.
Yeah.
And I'd that must be really challenging for you and your family to, but I wonder how much, for example, my mother knew as that deterioration was happening, how aware she was or not of it. And again, I suppose everybody's different, aren't
they? Everyone's different, yet again.
Yeah.
Especially with with Alzheimer's. The only thing with vascular dementia is that not everyone, but a bigger majority are more aware of the changes until you get to a certain stage, and then of course you don't become aware anymore. But normally I'm aware of I'm not as good as speaking as what I was a year ago.
Yeah.
And I know that, and I can recognise it, but I try not to let it worry me, because it will stop the work that I'm doing around the country.
And do you think the work that you're doing, because it's so positive and because you're helping others, and it's obviously a driving force for you, and I would imagine a vital part of your life at the moment, do you think that's helping kind of stave the illness off?
Yes, it's a double-edged sword. If you don't do anything, you stay at home, you'll go down faster, or most people will. If you go out and do too much, it can affect you through the stress levels and getting tired, and you can go down fast again. It's just getting that balancing act and keeping the mind active as much as you possibly can. And I believe the last 4 years has helped me immensely to keep going. It's a proof to people that you can live well with dementia. You know, there comes a stage that you can't, obviously, but that there is a way that you can live well with dementia. And if I can get that out, so people don't give up. If they're diagnosed, don't give up. Go out and do those things you've always wanted to do. Go and do them. Yeah, you know, while you still can.
Definitely. I think that's great advice for all of us, because none of us know what's around the corner, do we? And we all kind of just think, oh, we're trolling along for... And we're not necessarily. Who knows? So, yeah, that's fantastic.
And going back to the strange thing some people might think I said at the beginning, I said it in some ways it's a blessing. Not a blessing to have the disease, but a blessing to know what's happening, and a blessing that I can do this sort of work.
Yeah.
You know, where I might, if I'd had Alzheimer's, I might not have noticed it.
That's true. Yeah, it's one,
and then not done the work that I'm doing now. Well, strange way of thinking, maybe, to some people, but it's the way I look at it.
Well, I think there's a really positive way to look at it. And we'll be hearing more from Penny Kershaw and Terry Ecott, and talking about dementia and Alzheimer's after this short break. Thank you so much for listening.
Stay social and get in touch. It's /Vectis Radio on Facebook. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Hello and welcome back to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and two very special guests, Penny Kershaw and Terry Ecott. And earlier, before the break, we were talking about all things dementia and Alzheimer's. So welcome back, both. Terry, I know you had some figures that you were really keen to tell us about diagnosis of dementia in the nationwide and in the Hampshire areas.
Yes, and worldwide, actually. There's a lot of people don't know, but there's over 25,000 people diagnosed with one form of dementia or another in Hampshire alone.
Is that every year or in total?
No, in total at the moment. And basically, if you think of that as one county, then add them all up. But the figures roughly at the moment is 850,000 people in the UK have some form of dementia. By 2021, it's estimated that just over 1 million people will be living with a condition. And that will soar over to 2 million by 2051. Dementia deaths are rising every year, and 225,000 will develop dementia this year in this country. That's one every 3 minutes, or even more alarmingly in the bigger picture, one every 3.2 seconds worldwide, which will bring the number of dementia cases globally estimated to be nearly 50 million by the end of this year.
Are there places globally, are there pockets where dementia does not occur?
Good question, and one I do not know, to be honest, so I have to back off that question.
It's
I don't know the actual
earlier
answer.
You were talking about, you know, maybe there were diet or kind of medication, lifestyle choices and breathing in lead. I just wondered if there were pockets around the country where it just doesn't exist, because that kind of doesn't happen.
I think it affects, even if it might be contradicting what I was saying earlier, I think everywhere there is some form.
Yeah.
Because even if there's not pollution, as I said, there's other causes that can bring it in.
And it's not necessary because we're all living longer, which a lot of people like to say, because you are very young. And like you said, a lot of people are diagnosed very young. Are we any closer, do you know, Terry, to finding some sort of cure or something to stay, like hold this back, stave it off?
Well, funny you should say that. I was at an NHS event last week, and one of the doctors, a consultant for older people, actually turned around and said that, you know, mind you, a lot of the other doctors tried to shout her down, who turned around and said that the main drugs don't work.
So the drugs we currently have, correct me if I'm wrong, if you take them early enough for certain types of dementia, they can hold
put it back for a few months. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a longer sort of good quality of life.
Yes, to start with. And say 6 months or a bit longer. Yeah.
And relatives are sort of keen on this, obviously, because it keeps that person, as they remember them, with them for longer.
But I must hasten to say that everyone, again, is different.
Yes.
Some drugs do work for some people and give them better quality of life for a certain period of time, and others it has no effect. What this consultant was trying to say was that long term giving them was not worth it. Right. In fact, there were more problems giving people the drug long term and making them more agitated.
Well, of course, there's always a side effect, isn't there?
Yeah. And this is still in the medical world. No disrespect to all the great workers in the medical world, but it's still in its infancy of trying to find a cure for it.
How long, again, so pardon my ignorance, but growing up, I don't ever remember the word dementia or Alzheimer's. To me, these are quite relatively new words. Maybe they're just something with, you know, it was always there, but we've now given it a name. How long has it kind of been in out there like as it is now, would you say?
Well, I wouldn't like to say, but in the way that you're saying, using the word dementia and Alzheimer's, not that long really. You know, I'd say what, 15 years or more, just over that. Before that, when I was a youngster, people didn't use words. It was senile. Oh,
yes,
they're senile.
Yes.
Oh, they're away with the fairies. They're all right.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that was the terminology. And then that it was never mentioned again.
That's right. That's right. And to use that kind of awful term, but it's not a sexy illness, is it? It's not something people get involved with. I think people just sometimes think, well, they said to me, your mum's old. What did you expect?
Yeah.
And to me, it's not inevitable, and it doesn't have to be inevitable.
I don't think it's inevitable.
Yeah. How much funding? I know you do a lot of fundraising. How much proportional funding, medical, do you know, goes towards dementia as opposed to the other illnesses?
Well, the Alzheimer's Society raised just under 100 million last year, and a big percentage of that goes towards Alzheimer's research. So, but nationally, to be honest, I don't really know that. But I do know how much it costs the country for the dementia cases that we've got. Dementia costs the UK economy over 26 billion a year. And that's the equivalent of just over £30,000 per person with dementia. Now, you know, to me personally, I'm not speaking on behalf of the Alzheimer's Society, but to me personally, with the numbers increasing and the amount of money that we're having to spend, it's a ticking time bomb.
Indeed.
That's got to be looked at.
Indeed.
And very quickly.
I know they're doing so much work, but they're just, from my point of view, they don't seem to be close enough to finding the answer.
No.
Unfortunately.
Excuse me. It's like going back when I was very much younger as a teenager, when people were coming up with, say, a cure for cancer and things like that. And that was back in the 60s and late 60s, early 70s. And even then, people were saying, we'll have a cure for cancer within 20 years. That was then. I know there's a huge success rate now. And it's fantastic and, you know, good for all the workers and scientists that have worked on that, and the doctors and the hospitals. It's fantastic. But as I said, with Alzheimer's, early days.
It certainly feels like it, doesn't it? And I just want to take this opportunity to say a big thank you to the Admiral nurses. I think we've got five now, haven't we, Penny, on the island. And Jill George, who is sort of a very senior Admiral nurse. And they do phenomenal work in supporting the families of people with Alzheimer's and dementia. And I would be absolutely lost without Jasmine, who is my admiral nurse, and she's just wonderful. So it's a, I think the fundraising for them is, you know, we need more. We need to do more to kind of raise funds for admiral nurses, because their work they do is invaluable. And they're there as much for the family and friends as they are for the sufferers of the illness, which is vital, I think, just to kind of get you through, because it's a very, it's a long, tough road, isn't it, Terry, for not only you but your family, and you must feel this with your children and your wife.
Yes, well, as I said earlier, that they're coping and they're getting used to it, but it will damage the children. But it, the way I cope with it myself, how it affects the children, is it will make them stronger when they're older.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it. I know it's not a nice thing to think about, but that's how I cope.
And Sarah, is she helps you, doesn't she? She supports you in your work quite a bit, doesn't she?
Yes, she's given... did a blog, actually, for sport, comic sport relief, with as a teenager talking and doing a little diary. About a teenager living with a parent with dementia. So all my children have done bits and bobs, and as I said, they've come to Parliament with me because I've spoken twice in Parliament.
How did that go? How did speaking in Parliament? I can't imagine that. What was that like for you?
Well, no, it's great. I, you know, where I can't think of anywhere bigger to talk than Parliament, actually.
Yeah, indeed.
The first time was basically... to give evidence, because it was an all-party parliamentary group, about dementia and comorbidities, which is basically living with dementia and other diseases like cardiovascular or diabetes or Parkinson's. And I was given evidence about that because I've also got heart trouble. But that was as a form of inquiry. And it was quite funny because one MP turned around and said to me, Terry, you got anything positive to say? And I turned around and said, well, and he was a doctor as well, or ex-doctor. And I turned around and said, well, yes, I have got lots of positive things I can say, but we're not here for that. We're here to look at the negatives to make them better.
Well said, that man.
You know, and he didn't like that. But, you know, I was there to tell the truth, not what he wanted to hear.
Oh, we need more people like you, Terry, clearly, in all walks of life.
Thank you. But, and, yeah, sorry.
No, I was going to say, talking of walks of life, I know you're very much involved in advising and supporting dementia-friendly high streets and towns, aren't you?
Yes, I've done my home. Alton was the first dementia-friendly town in East Hampshire.
And what does that mean?
Well, it's basically that the shops and some of the businesses near the high street have had dementia friend sessions, things like that. So they're aware of how people might act with dementia, or how they can help them, or how, why somebody's getting confused. It's like somebody walking into a shop and might freeze because they see a black mat and they don't want to pass that black mat because in their eyes and their perception, it's a hole.
Something wouldn't have occurred to me, but yeah. Yes, I can see. Yeah, yeah.
And it's things like that. So it's not a great lesson, but, you know, it's just the basics. But then again, before that, they didn't know the basics in shops. So I do things like that. And the very first shop I did was, I don't know if I can mention a business name, but it was an optician anyway.
Okie dokie.
Okay, it was an optician anyway.
Should I have gone there?
Yeah, yes. And there were seven staff there that night. And we did the talk and the awareness. And then I myself was shocked to find out that four members of that staff had family with dementia.
Right. Yeah, well, it's so prevalent, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's if you're aware. Sometimes you're living with a relative and, you know, a loved one, and you have no idea.
No idea, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the hard workers of all people, like Admiral Nurses, the Alzheimer's Society, Dementia UK, I mean, the list grows. Princess Anne Carers Trust, or royal princess. I mean, you always get that mixed up. But that's another thing, you see, people forget about the carers. You know, it's always about the people that have got the dementia, but you've got to remember, and they've got to have more support, is the carers, because they live with this 24/7.
Yes, and they're looking ahead all the time of what's next.
Yeah, but they're not got, you know, in as the cases become more extreme for people living with dementia, they haven't got a break.
No, that's right. Which is where you come in, Penny, isn't it?
Yes,
this
it
new
is.
Service that you're thinking you're yes. going to be launching. What's the time frame on that? Have you got any idea when that's going to actually go live?
Well, one of the hotels, which is going to be the Respite Hotel, should be finished by February of next year. And so opening for about March, so Easter time, hopefully. And the other one's going to be a bigger project. So we're looking at probably 12 months from now. The domiciliary, I'm looking at hopefully getting it up and running by about December time. So I'm doing a little bit of sort of investigation on to see if there's plenty of people out there who want to work for us. So we are encouraging people to go to the Indeed website, and we're advertising on there, so for recruitment. So I have got actually a few people I've got in mind as well, but obviously, as you can appreciate, this type of business, it's good to have as many possible staff as you can.
Absolutely. And you, I think you said earlier, you weren't necessarily looking for trained staff.
No, not necessarily, because I always believe working in care, if you've got someone who doesn't have any experience, it starts from a clean slate. So it's in instilling good practice into people as opposed to picking up bad practice from previous places they've been before.
And what kind of, so if they don't have any experience in care work, what kind of qualities as a person would you be looking for?
Compassion, good communication skills, empathy. And knowing when to speak for the right time, for example, if there's any concerns that they might witness at any time or anything they're worried about, especially in community, because obviously residential is a bit different. You're under one roof. Community, you're going into people's homes. So it's being a bit more vigilant because it's a lone worker as well. So they're out there on their own, but they do have guidance from obviously the office or the field supervisors that will be going out there supporting them when required. So they'll have all the experience they need within the care as far as training is concerned. But it's having the right ingredients. Not everybody can be a carer. It's not everybody's thing, but I'm sure if they've got the compassion and they've got the care in them, that's the qualities I'm looking for.
And when you're going into people's homes, would those particular carers need to be able to drive?
Not necessarily. I mean, we're going to be starting out working from some sort of Sandown, Shanklin Way, and then hopefully branching out across the island. So I'm looking for people, if they are local, they walk or they have a push bike, that's not a problem. If they have a car, then obviously we can go further afield. But no, you don't necessarily need me to have a vehicle to actually come and work for us.
No, I'm liking the idea of the bike. It's got a sort of district nurse.
It has, yeah.
No, it's Gladys Emmanuel, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
No, it's lovely. I love that idea. That's really nice. So that's brilliant. So can you just say the name of that website again, please, Penny? People who might be interested in working
yes.
with you.
It's Indeed, and that's the website we'll be advertising, or we have advertised on. But I am talking about doing it locally in the county press as well, because as we know, being on the island, that is the main place that people look for work. So the Isle of Wight County Press would be another one we'd be advertising
so
into.
People keep their eyes peeled over the next few months?
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay. And Terry, coming back to you, you were talking about dementia-friendly high streets and towns. What's your opinion on the countries that have perhaps a wider vision and maybe a little bit more money floating about that have spent this on creating whole villages just populated by people with dementia and staffed by carers who can look after them?
Yes, I think there's one in Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea because they're actually proving that they're spending less money nationally because they're doing things like that. I mean, it's only an experiment at the moment, but on percentage-wise, if they do it all over that country, they will save money and people will live better.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a great thing and should be looked into more. But one thing I forgot, if I may mention...
Of course.
When I was saying a great thanks to all the workers out there, I didn't mention the volunteers. because there are many dedicated volunteers who do work above and beyond the call of duty with dementia. Many of them who have lost loved ones themselves to dementia, and we mustn't forget them either, because there are thousands upon thousands across the country that do all this for nothing. And that they basically fill in the shortfall from the government cutbacks over the last few years, from the last two governments.
And what kind of support do they get financially? I mean, if somebody's got quite severe dementia, Alzheimer's, you'd be looking at leaving your job, wouldn't you, in order to look after them? What sort of help do they get?
Well, they can now get a carer's allowance. You know, which I don't know the actual figures, because my wife hasn't claimed that, because she doesn't need to at the moment for myself. But yeah, a lot of people financially get hit because they have to give up their jobs early or take a few years out to look after their elderly parent. And that's not taken on board or talked about much in the press or the media. So people aren't aware of that either. And I think that should be spoke about more.
You know, because, like you say, these people who are doing it virtually for, you know, volunteers or looking after a loved one, but it's impacting emotionally, isn't it? And it's impacting financially and physically. And it's a total lifestyle change, isn't it? And everything, hopes and dreams,
are
shattered, aren't they?
It is.
How people's thought their lives were going to pan out. It's just the rug is pulled, and then without the financial support, that's got to make it doubly hard, hasn't it?
Yes, I think so. And also, you've got to look into the financial side of it, I hate to say again, because if carers become ill, that costs the NHS more.
Of course.
So if you gave them more support, you'd be saving money.
Yeah, and it's long-term. Obviously, carers by very definition are going to be under an awful lot of stress, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it does figure. But you yourself are a volunteer, aren't you, Terry?
Yes, I mean, all the work I do for the Alzheimer's Society and the advising that I give people like caring communities, I don't get paid. But the good thing about voluntary work, doing it from my point of view, is one that we've already mentioned, I do the awareness and all those sort of things and help people in it and help educate people and things like that. And it keeps me going. But it's just a wonderful thing to do, because I won't have much longer to be able to do this. What, a year, 2 years maybe? You know, because when I started this, I thought, if I can do this for a year, 2 years, it'd be great. Well, here I am 4 years later, and I'm still doing it. But I am becoming more exhausted. I am becoming more tired. I do become more ill. But the good thing is that I can take time off.
Yeah.
I'm a volunteer. If I need to rest for a few days or a week, I can. And then I gather my energy and my thoughts, and I go out and do it again. And I'll continue that until I just cannot do it anymore.
And is this something your wife supports you in? Or does she think, just rest at home with me and, you know, let's...
No, she knows I'd be like a caged lion if I was at home. And getting cabin fever, as the old saying goes, very quickly. But I've always been a campaigner of one sort or another over many years, as well as the music business. She supports me. My whole family do. And so I'm blessed again that I've got a family that understands. And as I said, my wife doesn't come with me to the talks and I do and everything. But my children do. And I'm keeping a scrapbook of all the newspaper cuttings and different things and magazines and all sorts of photos and things like that. It's like I just opened a LinkedIn account a few weeks ago. And within 2 weeks, I had 2,500 followers.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, and that is creating awareness for businesses.
Yes.
Because LinkedIn is mainly business
That's right.
As well as professional workers in the NHS and so on. So I'm getting into that area now, because there will come a time that I won't have the energy to go out in the world and do it, but I'll be able to do it from a computer.
Indeed, yes.
So I'm not going to go down easily, let's put it that way.
I'm very pleased to hear it, and I couldn't imagine you would. If anybody's listening now, and perhaps they've just had a recent diagnosis, either themselves or a very close loved one, dementia and Alzheimer's, what advice would you give them?
just don't give up. You can live well with dementia, and not forever, but just don't give up. Go and do those things you've always wanted to do. Do it where you still can, and do it with your family. Do everything you wanted to do. Obviously, there comes a point where you will be too unwell to do those anymore, but until that point, don't give up and keep going on, because I think it helps you last longer.
Yeah, and do you think that, you know, people say, oh, do crosswords, do Sudoku, or this read, go for walks. Do you think that kind of thing helps as well or not?
Yes, yeah, I think it does. It all helps. Anything that makes the brain work, or you have to think. I mean, I'm doing quite a bit of things to keep me occupied. But when I'm at home, I play Scrabble with my kids and my wife.
Yeah.
And that keeps my brain, and I win.
Do you?
At the moment. At the moment. There will come a time.
Are you very competitive?
Yes.
Oh, are you one of those annoying players that knows those silly little words that are two letters and all? Oh, I can't bear that.
Yeah, I will do that occasionally if it's got enough points. Yeah.
I really liked you earlier on. I'm really going off you now. No, that's fantastic, yeah. And in sort of day-to-day life and living with it in a family, what else would you suggest to people? Because it is hard watching someone you love. I think of it as my mother going down a tunnel and I can't get her back and I'm calling her and she just can't hear me. And I just find it breaks my heart. What would you say? And I was actually told by a doctor the other day to just get over it. There you go. Ugh. Just get over it, and what did I expect? And that was a doctor.
Well, that shows total ignorance in itself, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
All I can say, but from their point of view, and they're never, it's going to be horrendous for them, but to do everything they want to do, I'm going to turn it around, what I said about myself and other people diagnosed, is do everything you wanted to do with your parent, do it while you still can. It's the same thing. Get those memories, get those photographs, make a book, a scrapbook, whatever. You know, and live life to the full with that person with dementia while you still can. Because eventually, sadly, you will lose them.
And I think it's also about finding that little trigger, whatever it is, with that particular person that brings them back to life, albeit momentarily.
Yeah.
And for a while, that you're still able to do that.
Music.
It could be music, it could be photos.
Yeah.
With my mum, it was the birth of her great grandson. And when he came in, that was just magical, you know.
Yeah.
Though she wouldn't speak to us, she would talk to him and tell him he was beautiful and lovely. And that was just the most amazing thing.
Well, it brings back moments of clarity.
Yes.
And those moments of clarity can be magic.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, and then, you know, I think you can't be too cynical. You can't say, well, this is such a small moment, I can't celebrate it. You have to celebrate those small moments, don't you?
Yes, yeah. They're all gems, and gems worth keeping.
Yes, for sure. What's been your sort of most vivid memories since your diagnosis? What's been your... You've clearly made so many happy memories, Terry. What's been your happiest?
Oh, that's... I've never been asked that one before. I've been asked loads of questions, as you can imagine. Over the 4 years, I think my happiest memory was one, speaking in Parliament, and close second was being runner-up in the National Dementia Awards in 2014.
Wow.
That was a great memory, and something that I believe with the documentary we're making is a legacy for everyone.
Yes.
But also for my family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's vital work and information, I should think, is in within that, isn't it?
Yeah, because...
Just watching a life.
It's not just watching me in there. I'm going around, in part one, I'm going around the country to interviewing MPs, charity workers, MIND, you know, all sorts of different... not just people from the Alzheimer's Society, but all walks of life. It's just getting the views from all walks of life, especially the MPs that I did speak to that come on to the documentary, because they'd lost a loved one through dementia.
Mm.
And the more MPs that stand up to the front and do things like that, the better.
Yeah, and I think it's something really, it's very difficult to understand until you've experienced it firsthand, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You can't read it from a book.
No, very definitely not, no. And nothing really prepares you for it, I don't think. So thank you both so much, particularly Terry, for coming and having been so poorly. I really appreciate it. And best of luck with your, you know, good luck with the competition. And best of luck with all the work that you're doing. And thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And if I am the lucky winner, I'll come back and talk to you again.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Thank you.
And thanks to you too, Penny Kershaw. And best of luck with your new venture. And it's been a pleasure talking to you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for listening. And have a lovely weekend. Thank you now. Bye-bye. www.vectisradio.com